Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. This week's podcast is going to go down in history. It's the first time we're actually going to have a guest in studio. Kyle doesn't count. Comedian and professional athlete stylist Ron Jodoin will join us to discuss what it's like putting pros in their jeans. That sounds weird. How is that a job anyway? I guess when you're a struggling stand-up comedian trying to make it, you gotta do what you gotta do. Speaking of gotta do, JB will join us to discuss why you gotta get into the $500,000 contest coming up at DraftKings.com during the Daily Fantasy Report. And we've also got our first studio sponsor. Shut the f*** up. Do we really, Kyle? Sweet. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. Rudy's gonna dig through the machines. That's what I'm calling the new tools. Feels like an episode of Person of Interest. And Gray will tell us why he doesn't need a professional stylist, because he's got style oozing out of every pore. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of June 17th. Ready? Are you ready for it? Okay, here we go. From the McAngus Law Studio. Has fantasy sports caused an unrepairable rift with your significant other? Well, the legal experts at McAngus Law of Dallas, Texas, is there in your time of need. You can focus on managing your bullpen, and they'll focus on your custody hearing. Act now, because Razzballers get a 10% discount on wills. You can reach them by emailing counsel@mcanguslaw.com. That's counsel@mcanguslaw.com. Here we go. Podcast. Very exciting moment. Our first in-house guest here at the wonderful Razzball Studios. Again, Kyle doesn't count. It is my pleasure to have stand-up comic and professional athlete stylist Rob Jodoin joining us today here. Rob, welcome to the Razzball Podcast.
Nick, thanks for having me. I'm actually pretty glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to tell you that we went through hundreds of thousands of applicants for our first in-house guest, but really, it was about convenience.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, I'm still going to take that as a compliment, and I'm just going to keep telling myself that so I feel much better.
All right, good stuff. So, Rob, you're an interesting cat. Do you have a Twitter account, by the way, before I forget?
Yeah, it's just my Twitter handle, @RobJodoin.
Okay, which is J-O-D-O-I-N, for those of you who don't speak French-Canadian.
That's correct.
And Rob, ladies and gentlemen, is a stand-up comic. He's also a professional dresser or stylist, I guess, of professional athletes. You work at a major, major company here in Toronto in a neighborhood called Yorkville, which is kind of like the Canadian Rodeo Drive. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's just a smaller, tight-knit area, but it's still really, really ritzy. So it's got that feel to it.
Yeah, it's a place Kyle and I can't really walk to, because we'd kind of stick out like two brutish thumbs.
Just about.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Rob, I definitely want to get to you being a stylist, but, you know, you're a stand-up comic, but you had me a little bit worried, because we came down to the studios today here at 102.1 The Edge in Toronto, and you were taking pictures of everything, like the logos and the studio, and is this your first rodeo, cowboy?
Yeah, just about, or something that's a little more important to me, so anytime I go anywhere, I got to take a photo of it, just for more sentimental value. I see so much stuff in a day that I forget. I'm kind of like a goldfish. If I don't see something for longer than 10 seconds, I'm going to forget about it.
That's fair enough. Okay, so Rob, and you really do this. You really are a stylist for professional athletes. And I just kind of want to give the audience an idea. You know, Kyle and I were kind of big, rugged, football-looking guys. You could maybe be a punter on a junior high school team. Is that a fair assessment?
No, I would be a third-string player. I maybe get to play one game. The opportunity shows up Rudy style, where they're down and they say, you know what, Rob, we need you. get out there. You can do this. And I go out and I mess everything up. I kick wrong. Like, it doesn't even go near the upright whatsoever. The other team scores a touchdown. And then who knows what I do?
What I was trying to say was you look androgynous.
Fairly. for those who can't see me, of course, I'm kind of built like a noodle. So I'm that kid who never tried out any sport whatsoever.
You know, noodle, that might be your new nickname. Well done. Well done, Rob. So, Rob, you really do dress professional athletes. I know we had a quick chat before. Yeah, you get a lot of baseball players, a lot of hockey players, basketball players, golfers, tennis players. Really, it's the place to be, Yorkville and Toronto. What's the difference between dressing different sets of professional athletes?
Well, I feel like the easiest has got to be a baseball player because the guys are just built bigger, but anything can fit. They know their size. They know what they want. They just come in. I just put the jeans on. That's it. But when it comes to anything else, like basketball players, they want it a little more flashy, you know. They want a suit with a name. They wanted like more room in the crotch. It's got to match their Air Jordans. The necklace has to fit nicely under the lapel. If it doesn't, then they're not going to buy it.
Right.
And then when it comes to hockey players, anything in a dark plaid. Or if they're stepping away from that, it's basically trying to say, no, I'm not from small town Saskatchewan or Ontario.
So either they're going kind of super crazy hyper graphic tees or else it's flannel.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good stuff.
But we do have fancy flannel, so a lot of them tend to lean towards that.
Fancy flannel, that seems kind of like an oxymoron.
Just about.
So I guess, though, for the hockey players, it's kind of pretty simple. It's puck bunny like this one. Right?
Yeah, you just hold it up and you go, look good, ladylike. They go, uh-huh.
And I guess, too, also, they're just looking for something that's going to mask their lack of teeth.
Yeah, or it's just trying to move them away from anything else they've already got in their closet. Because if you look at the way they dress when they come in,
yeah,
they all look the same.
How do they look?
Usually a little distraught. They're not sure where they are, no matter where they're going. I've seen them stand in line at Starbucks. It looks like they haven't left their house.
And listen, just for the next time I'm in an arena, I love hockey players, okay?
Yes.
I was a hockey player. It just wasn't any good.
Yeah. Well, I'm from a hockey town, actually. A big NHL player now went to my high school, so.
Where are you from?
Kingston.
Ah, Kingston.
Yep.
And for those of you who are listening, that's, think a nice, real, great city, and then take it down about 100%.
Yeah, just take a nice little Italian villa, but then just put a prison in it. And that's Kingston.
Kingston is known for two things. It's universities, which are great, and it has like 11 penitentiaries.
Yeah, that surround the university.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
So how'd you get into becoming a stylist for professional athletes?
I don't really have any other marketable skills besides talking, and then I just found that I could dress people quite well. So it just sort of clicked when I found they had the opportunity to get this job where I works. I just applied and went at it full force.
And that was it?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
And I guess, too, they'd come to you because, you know, you are extremely well-dressed, albeit shaped like a noodle.
Yeah.
You're probably non-threatening. You know, like, it'd be different approaching you versus going against Milan Lucic in the corner of a hockey game.
Yeah, I mean, if you walked into a store and it was me in a suit beside Chara, I think you're going to come to me first.
Fair. You got any good stories? Like, I know you mentioned a couple of them on the way up to the studio today.
Oh, yeah. We had a big baseball player come in, one of the away teams. He had just walked into the store. I was just standing at my counter. He came by and asked me for some help, some jeans. So I took him over to our denim section, grabbed a few pairs, tried them on, just tried to get a right fit for him. So he had to get them altered. He had to get them hemmed because they were too long. So that took about a week. Came back a week later with his mom. Now, I don't understand why he had to bring the mom along, but the first point he made when he came in wasn't that, oh, I'm here to get my jeans. He goes, Rob, here's my mom. Now, I know I'm very androgynous looking, but there's a certain team I play for, and it's none. You know? It was very awkward when he was just like, hey, this is my mom. She's like, oh, you're so nice.
What do you say to that? What do you say? Hey, mom?
Yeah, you just shake her hand and just smile.
Oh, funny. So, also too, you mentioned you had like some pro golfers and tennis players. It must be different when the Europeans come into town.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. When they show up, they're looking for two brands, Hugo Boss or Lacoste. And if we don't have either or, they'll just go somewhere else. So, typically when they come in, they're just like, I need the polo shirt. And then it's a yes or no answer.
You know, funny. You know what this? You know what this podcast needs? We need a designer polo shirt sponsor. I think
that you should. You should.
So, what would you do for a guy like me? You know, like I'm kind of I'm broad.
Yeah.
You know, although yet tapered. You know, what would you do for if I showed up and I'm like, hey, Rob, set me up with some. I want to look like a professional athlete.
Well, first I'd have to find like what fit you well because everything else is cut differently. I have over, I think, 12 brands of jeans at our store. So it's just finding the right ones that fit you properly because there's certain cuts and then certain sizes because some of them, the waists are too big, they're too small. That kind of stuff is unimportant. You leave that to me, but I'm just trying to make sure you look good because whenever they're getting dressed up, they're going out for something. They're not just right. wearing it around the house.
Right. And I guess, too, what, do you have any fashion advice for our listeners? Which, let me preface this, our fantasy baseball fans probably wear a lot of sweatpants.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out there. So what's an easy way for, let's say, an unfashionable guy like myself
okay.
to up it up a couple notches?
Just throw a blazer on over the t-shirt, keep the sweats, you're good to go.
Good to go?
Yeah. Maybe a pair of Sperry's.
What's a Sperry?
It's like a boat shoe. It's supposed to be very popular right now, apparently. I get asked that at least twice a day whenever I get a guy come in.
Have any of these, other than introducing you to your mom, have these guys ever like invited you down to a game? Like, hey, Rob, thanks for getting me all set up here. Here's a couple of tickets.
I wish. I had a situation like that come up, and it almost happened, but there was no follow through. Another basketball player came in, helped him out. He got a suit done up. Him and his wife, they shopped around. I helped him out.
Was it a red suit or a purple suit?
I think it was gold and linen. So it was white linen with gold trim. On the back, it said 40. I'm not sure. It was something he got custom, I guess.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
It was really over the top.
So he was going to invite you down to the game, but what happened?
Well, they were talking about the game. They asked if I was going, and I thought they were leading down to say, hey, well, we got some free tickets. Even just nosebleeds I would be happy with. But instead, they just said thanks and took off.
All right, Rob. So listen, I know that you might be on tour this summer. Tweet him at Rob Jodoin. Jodoin. If
yep.
you want to get any of the tour information, I know you might do some big festivals this year in Canada.
Yep, we're trying.
Absolutely. Also, if you're in the Toronto area, or you know what, I'm even going to throw this out. We can even make you maybe our Razzball style consultant. So you know, tweet up Rob if you have style questions. You know, guys, maybe our listeners can tweet a picture to you of what they're wearing.
Yeah.
Or you know, side by side, two things in a store and what they should pick.
Okay. Perfect.
Actually, one of our regular contributors, LT, is an underwear model. He really is. That's his day job.
Good for him.
I know. So what we're thinking about doing is maybe through Razzball creating a high-end underwear line, like a real super premium. And we were thinking bananahammock.com. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Or you could do holds my Razzballs. Something like that. Just something on the waistband. A little more flashy.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. All right, Rob, thanks so much for going down in history as the first in-house guest here at the Razzball Podcast. We'll check you out on Twitter, and hopefully we're going to see you doing some stand-up soon.
Perfect. Thanks for having me, Nick. I appreciate this.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You can follow them on Twitter at DraftKings. And, of course, I'm joined once again on the Daily Fantasy Report by Mr. JB Gilpin. You can follow him at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N, a.k.a. Big Biscuit. JB, welcome to the podcast.
Wow, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk some DraftKings.
Absolutely. Hey, just real quick, before we do, we had a comedian, Rob Jodoin, come into the podcast today, and he's a professional stylist. So I've seen a few pictures of you, you know, on Razzball, and I'm going to just throw this out. I'll ask him if we can get a couple hours of consultation for you.
I'm just glad that you found pictures of me on Razzball and not another site.
Okay, let's talk about daily fantasy first. I want to talk about last week's contest and what's happening this week, but I just really want to bring up quickly cuz this is a big deal happening over at DraftKings.com on Friday, July 19th, so that is coming up. It's the $500,000 Midsummer Classic. $500K total is available with $125,000 going to the winner. The top 600 get paid. And you can win your entry for as little as $5. You can also throw in multi-entries. So that is a big, big, big happening coming up soon, July 19th at DraftKings.com.
Yeah, and first place getting 125 large. I mean, it's like playing the lottery, except for you get to pick your picks. So It's a lot of fun. I'll probably be playing in a couple of these qualifiers.
So it's just like playing the lottery then.
Except for you get, it's like gambling versus poker. You know, poker is, you know, it's a skill game. It's the same with DraftKings.
Okay, so last week we actually had a full house at the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest. In the unlikely chance you're not aware, every Friday night, although this week we did it on a Thursday, we play with Rudy from Razzball. You can only get there by clicking the link from JB's post. JB is our daily DraftKings correspondent. So all you got to do is post comes up Wednesday, or you can search on Razzball. Just look up DraftKings. The link is there. It's only for Razzballers. It's a very high payout. It's actually a loss leader for DraftKings, so they lose money on it, but they do it for us because they like us here so much at Razzball.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome that they throw us exclusive contests. It makes the prize pool nice and solid for everyone. Like you said, they pay out more than they actually make, and it's good to play with Razzballers, and I like seeing the comments of people playing, and it's just a lot of fun for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you do? How were your picks last technically Thursday?
They were not too great. My pitching was fantastic. I went with Cliff Lee and Irvin Santana. Both had over 20 points, and that actually constituted over half of my team scoring. None of my hitter picks went well at all, but you know, luckily Santana and Lee carried me to a 20th spot out of 40, and that was the last paid spot, so I got my money back, and I'm feeling decent about that. You know, although the Royals scored 10 runs, my picks of Lorenzo Cain and Billy Butler, I mean, they both did, they got 7 and 8 points respectively, but you're always open for more.
All right, and who do you like this week?
Well, looking at pitchers, I mean, we've said it every week. You win by picking solid pitchers. Like I said, all my hitters did pretty terrible last week, but I picked two good starters and still made the money. So for next week, I like Zach Greinke at San Diego. All you got to do is hope he doesn't hit Carlos Quinton and keeps his collarbone together. But I think that's a solid matchup. So I think he'll bounce back. He's been a little shaky since returning from the collarbone break.
Right.
A sneaky guy I like pitcher-wise is Roy Oswalt. Reports are coming out that he might start either Thursday or Friday. It'll be at Washington. They obviously don't have Bryce Harper. His price will be really, really low because it'll be his first start. I'll know by my article which day he's going to start, but if it is Friday, he's probably one of those like $5,000 to $6,000 pitchers that will be a really solid pick.
Now, if you're listening to this, obviously you're a fan of Razzball and you know about the tools, but I need to state this again. You have such a massive advantage if you're using the Hittertron, the Streaminator, the Platoony Tunes, all the tools at Razzball. If you're using these, this gives you a huge advantage over everyone else playing at DraftKings. So really, this is, listen, I'm not going to say it's insider information, but it kind of is, JB.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, those tools are awesome. You know, and a lot of times it is a little bit of luck with the hitters, but the pitchers, I mean, I'm sure Oswalt would be pretty high up there on the Streaminator. He's given a lot of good valuable, I said he's like it's a person, but it's given a lot of good valuable pitchers that are good value picks. So you can pick actual good hitters for your offense.
I'm just starting to call it the machine.
The machine. I like it.
Yeah. All right, JB, listen, thanks. Hey, quick plug, when's your next pitcher post?
It'll be going up by the time you're listening to this. It'll have been up yesterday. It's on Corey Kluber, who pitched 8 scoreless against the Nationals on Sunday, 8 Ks. He's a guy I've liked him for the past month, and it's paying dividends now.
Good stuff. JB, thanks as always for joining us for the Daily Fantasy Report. Of course, you can always follow at DraftKings.com and on Twitter at DraftKings, and if you got questions about Daily Fantasy or anything else, you want to communicate with my man at JBGILPIN. Thanks, Big Biscuit.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Getting to know Rudy.
Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Rudy Gamble. Rudy, I've kind of given a name to all the tools. I'm just lumping them all in together. I'm just calling it The Machine.
That one's pretty good. Do you watch that? There's a Person of Interest show that I watch.
And that's exactly where I got that from.
Yeah, that show's pretty good.
It actually is a good show. It stars, I don't even know what it stars, but it's been on for a couple seasons, but basically they have this machine which, through a lot of data, can kind of predict the future. And, hey, that's what these tools do at Razzball.com.
It's true. And I try to, and Jim Caviezel's in Person of Interest. He played Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I have a God complex.
Hey, just quickly, before we get into some of the players, and kind of the theme for this is guys that you wouldn't think of picking up, but the machine is telling you that you might. But I just want to tell you, we had our first studio sponsor this week. Of course, we put it out to Razzball Nation. Want to get your name on the studio sponsorship? Just email me, nick@razzball.com. And it's actually a divorce lawyer from Texas. So just to let you know, Rudy, McAngus Law Studio, or McAngus Law, is willing to offer you a 10% discount on your wills. And if you help him with fantasy advice, he said he'll take care of the child custody for you.
Nice. I'll give him advice, but I don't think I need his business anytime soon.
Okay, so let's get to the players. Talk to me about a guy that I just can't pick up anywhere because he makes me crazy, but you think there's something with Travis Snyder, or the machine does.
You hate him because he played in Toronto and was pretty bad. He was a tease in Toronto. He's one that, you know, the best way to deal with these young power outfielders is to just platoon them. Don't let them play against the same hand. So the Snyder, he's lefty. That means he could play more. And the upside of a guy like that is like the David Murphy, Matt Joyce type. I'm not saying he's as good as those, but to me, his upside is that he gets to face only righties, and he's a guy that you can't own and play him 7 days a week.
Right.
So I'm a big Matt Joyce lover this year. He's doing really well on my first place RCL team. First week, I could say that now. So the thing I like about Snyder this week, first four games are at Cincinnati, and he's facing righties in all of them. The one I'm most excited about is I think it's Wednesday's start against Arroyo. Arroyo gives up a ton of homers. Cincinnati's a great park to hit homers in because Pittsburgh stinks. Pittsburgh's a real tough park. So Snyder hasn't shown a lot of power, but his best shot as a bargain one is on Wednesday. So I like him Wednesday as a pickup.
Okay, good stuff. Talk to me about a pitcher that has made me crazy, and that's kind of, again, the theme here of what we're going for. But Dan Heron.
Oh, I hate Dan Heron.
What does machine think?
Well, I mean, like, Dan Heron was a really good pitcher, so it's hard to say I hate him. But I've been very down on him for the last 2 years, and that's when I've looked prescient on, just because his fastball's going. And he doesn't throw this. He used to get a lot of outs with split fingers. He lost that. His cut fastball's not the same. He's still got great control. He's getting murdered with homers this year. So he's a risky stream, but at Philadelphia, the thing is, Philadelphia is just not the same offense. Dom Brown doesn't go, I think he's calming down a bit. And, you know, he's facing Pettibone, so you've got a pretty good shot at starting. So it's a riskier one. The machine likes Dan Heron better than I do, has him as like a $10-plus start. I see it as one that if I'm in a head-to-head league, I take a shot at Heron. If I'm in a 15-team league, I take a shot at Heron. If I'm a desperate gambling streamer, he's not bad for a 12-team. I could think of worse.
Okay, let's talk about John Danks, who in the past has had some good runs. He's been useful, even in 12-team mixed leagues. What do you think about John Danks currently?
So he's now a couple starts in. I think he's actually over five starts in, or at least five starts into his comeback. So, you know, like, the machine doesn't look at whether a guy has pitched and has injuries and stuff like that. So he's now had five starts. So and Danks has shown decent stuff. He's struck out five in four of his last five starts, or at least five. He's had pretty kind matchups, but he's pitched pretty well. His next start's at Minnesota, and I doubly like that one because, one, Minnesota's a good pitcher park, and two, every hitter except Willingham that I even think about on that team is lefty. So I like lefties against Minnesota. I like him. I like that start better than Heron, even though it's only a $4 start.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on that one, a fair against the Twins. Let's talk about a player I don't want to have on my team just because when he opens his mouth, I cringe. Luke Scott, noted birther.
Oh, and his facial hair. Oh, he's got that Wolverine sideburn thing going.
He's got something going.
Yeah. No, I've had some good success at Luke Scott over the years, which, you know, obviously I haven't used him for extended periods. He's still DH only in ESPN leagues. He is first base in Yahoo leagues. So I think he once put a glove on at first base, so Yahoo automatically gave him eligibility. He's really one you want to use for matchups. I think he's not going to be a starter too much longer now with Will Myers up there. But against righties and good parks, I like him. And later this week, I think Friday, he's at Yankee Stadium against Phil Hughes. Now, Phil Hughes has a success now and then, but the man gives up home runs like nobody's business. Him and Arroyo. They could do their own little... Arroyo could play the guitar, maybe have a little Hall & Oates duo right there. So I would take any lefty at Yankee Stadium when Phil Hughes is pitching.
Okay, that's fair.
One or two of them are hitting homers. So Luke Scott's a cheap one because you're not going to be able to just pick up Matt Joyce or Zobrist in your leagues.
So let me ask you a question. Just because I actually had this discussion with a friend of mine over the weekend, you brought up Yahoo. What's your favorite application for playing fantasy baseball? Yahoo, ESPN, CBS? Of course, until Razzball has their own application.
Yeah, well, right now I'm on like six. I have leagues in about six different formats. I'm a fan of ESPN's. I don't love Yahoo because of the eligibility rules and that you have to open up a separate window for the real-time stats. And it doesn't work. It's in Flash, so it doesn't work on iPad. So Yahoo, I'm down on. NFBC is pretty solid. I like CBS as well.
What do you like about ESPN? I'm curious because personally... and I'm not knocking ESPN, but it's not my favorite to use.
I don't know. Maybe it's because it's the first one I used. You know, some people start with Yahoo ones. I start with ESPN. I just find it easy. And I like I find the S's for who's playing that day for daily leagues.
Right.
It's just easy to read. That their iPhone app is pretty solid, too. Yahoo has that little carrot, and I find it tough to see.
Yeah. That's fair. One thing I do like about Yahoo, though, especially because this year I'm in so many leagues and it's so difficult to manage, they have the swap inactive player button. So if you just want to do, you know, real quick, what's my optimized lineup for the day? And I do really like that tool with Yahoo.
Yeah, and they do have some good research, or they have research. I haven't used it too much, buried in there. I think it's one that if you use Yahoo enough, you do find a few Easter eggs in there.
Yeah, no question. See, because it's funny, and you're right about the stat tracker not opening up on the iPad, but I would say, actually, just my personal preference is Yahoo by far. There's a lot I like about ESPN, but they just need to kind of clean up the dashboard a little bit. Not that I'm getting too technical here, but...
Yeah, no, I could see it, and yeah, clearly we know from our site surveys that ESPN and Yahoo are actually 2-1. Yahoo has more users. More Razzball people use Yahoo than ESPN. Even with RCL on ESPN. So that's why we have the support for both position eligibilities.
Right. That's fair. All right, good stuff. Listen, Rudy, thanks for joining us. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, you can play every Friday with Rudy from Razzball at DraftKings.com. Actually, we had a full house last week, Rudy.
I know. It was so full, I didn't go.
Don't tell me that.
I'm awful. It's a mea culpa to everybody.
Oh, Rudy, you're in trouble, buddy.
The site, I know, it's awful. The site, as some people know, we had a few performance issues on the site on Friday. It distracted me.
All right, good stuff. All right, listen, thank...
That in the mudslide. That in the free mudslide to TGIF.
Thanks for joining us, Rudy. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
I got it from that lawyer hooked me up on Friday.
We'll talk to you next week.
Tell me all this bad stuff about my wife.
Get out of here. You're out.
Okay.
See you, Rudy. Getting to know Gray, the closer. Gray Albright. Gray, welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Yo, what's going on, man? I hope I don't have to pick up too many inherited runners here.
Well, that's kind of how I'm trying to look at it, you know? I get the writers to come in, try and give us a quality start. Rudy comes in with all the stats, you know, playing the loogie matchups, you know, get us through the seventh and eighth. And then Gray comes in and, you know, try and tries to shut the door.
Yeah, Rudy's like a great middle reliever. He shuts down all the arguments, and then I come in to make it look ugly again.
But you do it with panache and flair.
Rudy got us through a tough eighth inning, and now here comes Gray for the ninth. Oh, three runners, the first three runners on, and a 3-0 count.
Slider, 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 slider.
I blame the ump. He's not giving me the quarters.
Hey, how was Father's Day with all the illegitimate children that you have, Gray?
It was pretty good. I went out to a little cafe near here, and I bought lunch for a random old man and said that, you know, because he was by himself. So I said, Happy Father's Day, and I hope you enjoy your lunch. And he was so thankful. And then I said, all right, but it's because I don't have any cash and I need money. So if you could give me back the money I'm putting down with my credit card.
Did you really do that?
Oh, no, I'm joking.
That'd be so funny. Although, you know what? There's a good idea for a second career. Maybe I'll suggest this to Smokey. But hang out in really rich neighborhoods.
It sounds like are you familiar with Curb Your Enthusiasm up in Canada?
You know what? I've never actually seen it, but yeah, it did run here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounds like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Yeah, I could totally see
that. It's like, I'd love to buy you lunch. Oh, really? Thank you, Larry. Yeah, but the issue is I don't have any cash. I actually recently had a Curb Your Enthusiasm, a different type of moment. That is true. I was coming out of the car wash, and I stopped at a red light, and a guy who I hadn't seen in a real long time pulled up next to me, and he started beeping his horn, and he rolled down his windows to talk to me. But I was like, I can't roll down my windows because I just had my car wash. So I just waved, and he starts beeping frantically, like, what the fuck? Why would you roll down your windows to talk to me? I'm like, I can't, man. I wish I could.
Hey, so today, earlier on the show, we had our first live in-studio guest, until you take care of those legal issues and can actually travel up here to Toronto. And it was a comedian, Rob Jodoin, whose day job is actually, he's a professional stylist for pro athletes. So
the stand-up comedy must be going well. I don't know if that jock strap looks so great on you. Wait, you have your jock strap backwards here. Come on, let's adjust.
Oh, it's funny. That's funny. But you know, I wanted to bring up how you ooze such style. I mean, you probably would never need a professional dresser, right? It's like, is it white and linen and white boat shoes? I'm good.
Yeah, totally. I had one of my early girlfriends in my life was a writer for a fashion magazine. And so she hung out with pretty stylish people. So when she would take me to, like, Christmas parties and stuff, people would look at me like, does your shirt say dip me in honey and feed me to the lesbians? Because that's not very stylish.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Wait, so what exactly did he do for, like, what does he do for athletes? Does he, like, dress them up for the ESPYs? I don't really know. When do athletes need to get dressed up?
No, they do, because what happened, there's a you know, hyper-trendy area here in Toronto called Yorkville. It really is like Rodeo Drive, and that's where all the rich and elite go. And he just has a portfolio of pro athletes that started, and that's pretty much who he dresses. NBA players, baseball players, gets a lot of the golfers and tennis players when they come in off tour. So he had a couple funny stories for us.
Oh, wow. We can't have more than one person on the podcast at once. That's right. I forgot. I was going to say, why wasn't I on to talk to this guy? But we're limited by our capabilities here at the Razzball Podcast.
Well, you know, just at this stage, I mean, we're really hoping long term we can build a beautiful studio, you know, somewhere in the Southwest United States and fly you and Rudy in, you know, for the day. We can actually do round tables and have discussions. You know, that's the long term plan.
What are we thinking? Santa Fe? Because I have some beautiful turquoise sandals.
You know, Santa Fe might be too out there even for me. Maybe Albuquerque.
Perfect. I always wanted to live in a city that I can't spell.
I actually have. It is too long for this conversation, but one day I have a great story about strip clubs in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Imagine writing your return address on your envelopes, Alba, whatever, something.
Hold on. Let me look at the Detroit bullpen depth chart.
I usually just spell it A-L apostrophe E-T-C period.
Or Roswell. I'm sure we get great reception in Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah, coming back from Vegas? I forget, but Mama Albright and my stepfather were going to Vegas about 10 years ago, and we broke down in one of those, like, all we see is aliens towns, and there was no one around for no humans around for about 50 miles. And we were talking to the guy at the gas station. He was like, "Yeah, most of our business here is just tourism about the aliens." What? This is your life. You're an alien tourist guide.
Listen, I worked on cruise ships for 7 years. I have been to some remote, remote places. And let me tell you, there are places I've been where if you worked in a Dust Bowl town, you know, one stoplight town and aliens were the tourism, it's an upgrade over some of the places I've been.
Oh, man. So you did tours in Albania?
You know, I've been a lot of places. In fact, we should do a spin-off podcast
I'm Nick Capozzi, and I'm doing a tour in Afghanistan. Oh, wow. That's very patriotic of you. No, I mean like a tour on a cruise. I'm not doing a tour with the military.
Yeah, no, I'm not brave enough to join the military. I was, however, brave enough one time to actually get off the ship in La Guaira, Venezuela, which was interesting. Maybe that'll be the first episode of Nick's cruise ship stories.
I look forward to it. I look forward to anything having to do with the cruise ship. I'm fascinated, but I never want to be on one.
You know what? Actually, I'll tell you, cruising is actually amazing. It's not for everybody, but people are blown away when they first go. But the stories I have. If I could write, Gray, I'd write a book. Actually, maybe you and I should collaborate. We could do like an ebook on cruising because I have crazy stories, but it's not crazy stories that you're full of shit, Nick. It's these actually happened, and if I you know try to exaggerate them, it would only make them more believable because it's at such the height of crazy shenanigans.
Did you ever read a supposedly fun thing I'll never do again by David Foster Wallace?
No.
Oh, it's a great. It has a. There's a big essay about doing a cruise, and it's pretty great. I'll leave it to you to read it.
If you're 20 something and have a lot of personality and are willing to get drug tested once a week, I would definitely go to RoyalCaribbean.com, and especially if you're in the U.S., it's not hard to get a job on a cruise ship. They're always looking for Americans.
Is this one of our new sponsors? Why do I feel like we're in the middle of a commercial right now for Royal Caribbean? No, I get what my biggest fear is with the cruise ship is getting on there and being bored out of my mind and being like trapped, like it's a floating prison.
It's not like that. It would have been like that 25 years ago, but now, I mean, just look up, and I'm not trying to plug Royal Caribbean here, but I did used to work on a lot of royal ships, like Oasis of the Seas. And there's you can't, if you did every, oh man, there's so many activities, unless you hate people, which maybe for you, Gray, is a possibility. Yeah. You can't help but be blown away by how much activity there is. I mean, even for a guy like me with ADHD off the charts, you know, I'm I can go all day on a ship, even now, even after I spent 7 years doing it.
Wow, big fan. Big fan, Nick. Big fan.
Hey, you know what? We've kind of run our time, but I feel like I should ask you at least one baseball question. Is that fair?
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
All right, just because Will Myers got called up yesterday. What do you think about Mr. Myers?
Well, as I went over in the blog, I think the Will Myers probably best comparison is Matt Holliday, but that is at his prime. And that's Matt Holliday at his prime and Will Myers at his prime. So we're thinking like, well, by we, I mean me and my random italicized voice. We're thinking like 30-plus homers, 15-plus steals, 300-plus average. Really, a solid outfielder. Definitely a one and maybe a second rounder overall. Right now, I would say his K rate's a little high and he might not hit over 260. And maybe you get 15 homers the rest of the way with some steals, maybe 7 to 10. He's definitely worth picking up in every mixed league just for the upside alone. And he could possibly surprise like a Puig and have a huge first couple weeks / month or two.
So just so you know, Gray, the feedback I get on Twitter, people want to hear Rudy talk about, you know, the machines, the tools, and they want to hear you just talk. So that's, you know, they get all this in the posts. I think they want to hear about your stories of ex-girlfriends.
All right, I'll give you some next week, I promise.
All right, good stuff. Thanks for joining us, Gray. Of course, you can always follow Gray at Razzball. You can follow me at Nick Capozzi. Gray, I'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, peace out.
Like your name was Moises. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.